Any questions? Yes.
Most of the dates you're talking about are 100 plus.
Yes.
When we read the introduction to all these various books in the New Testament, this is written about 60 AD. That doesn't sort of gel with what we...
Well, the time of the writing of the book is different from the actual manuscripts that we have. The example of Philodemus, who wrote 125 years before his a scroll was found of his at Pompeii or Herculaneum. So the writing of the book is can be quite a different period to the manuscripts that we actually have. But the bit with the Rylands papyri, P52, this is interesting because you could go back into the first century or you go late second century, right? But you sort of figure it's somewhere around the middle there in the first half of the second century. Now, it's John's Gospel. Where was John's Gospel written? The people think. No, not when, where? Up in Asia Minor, in Turgon. Possibly Ephesus or somewhere like that. Okay, so they think it was written at Ephesus. Now this is Egypt, okay? This is down in Egypt in the first part of the second century. How did it get down there so quickly, basically? Well, there were lots of people moving around, but there were very few Christians in Egypt at the time. So as some people were saying that John's Gospel was probably maybe written about the year 90, and so that's sort of in the time frame of this, isn't it? This is obviously not the autograph, but it's probably a few copies removed from it. Yes?
I'm still puzzled because if we say the writing is 60 AD or somewhere around there.
Yes?
But the manuscript that we find that are older, how do we know the writing is?
Or younger, you mean?
Yeah.
So, if they're written in 60 and we have manuscripts from, say, 130, is that the question? Diocletian came to rule in 284, and one of his first tasks was to destroy Christianity, and one of the things he did at every town and village throughout the empire was to demand the codices from the Christians. And so you would go around and basically the officials there would search out and burn all of the codices they could find. So that we have anything before 284 is rather good stuff. So that's one important reason as to why we don't have lots of earlier manuscripts and papyri. The other thing about it is that a lot of them was built on papyrus, which in the northern climes sort of decayed very quickly. Only in Egypt do we find a good place to preserve them. And for the first 200 or 300 years in Egypt, there was a very small Christian population. And so you wouldn't expect to find many manuscripts from a small population statistically. So basically, lots of codices were destroyed during the Diocletian persecution. And in fact, one of the calendars is called the Age of Diocletian. You start from 284 and you count years cumulative from then, because it was such a dramatic, such a traumatic event for Christians. And so they started to date their things from the age of Diocletian. Then they said, well, what are you mentioning his even name for? So they said, we'll call it the Age of Martyrs now instead. So after a while, they started talking about the Age of the Martyrs from the year 284. So that was a particularly severe time, and basically huge amounts of literature were destroyed. Yes?
Do we have any evidence of age for the writing? That is, for instance, to prevent the washing line phenomenon and to have a nice straight line. Is there any reference in the literature to, say, something like rulers? Any hard evidence that we've come across that thing?
Yes, particularly on some of the parchments, you see they inscribed a line. Now, they didn't inscribe two or four lines, they just used one line, but they used their eye to say, you know, bilinear or quadrilinear. But sometimes you can see an inscribed line. Jan?
The line of paper, the abbreviation, takes time to appear, and who determined what symbols to use? Did that emanate from a certain symbol store, a city, or...?
Not really. They're first and the last letter, right? But in some of them, the longer ones, they have, say, three letters. Like David is written as D-A-D, which is the first and the last letter, and sometimes one or two in between. And Spirit, P-N-I, is written with three letters as well. But the origin of them is unknown, which is why I referred to Don Barker's idea, that basically it comes from a Semitic origin. Instead of writing out the name of God, they just write first and last letters of Kyrios. And his idea is it develops from there, a Semitic origin, but taken over very rapidly by Christians. Because you've got to save space. You've got to save as much space as you can. Which is why they started off with just putting one letter after the other without any spaces. I mean, papyrus was important. Lewis? Yes, it is the same thing. Actually, the Romans used to write with separate words for a while, and then they decided that they'd have an antiquarian fashion. So after a period, they then started writing with scriptio continua. So fashions come in as well, deliberately antiquarian fashions as well. And sometimes you can see that in manuscripts. This is where they deliberately don't go with current script. They'll want to use an archaic type script in order to be impressive. Yeah, Lewis.
So this on the whole space issue. If you're looking at this papyri here, the letters horizontally are strung together very closely, but then you have this massive gap between lines and. Just wondering why there's so much space on the piece of paper, as it were.
Well, that's what they did. That's the fashion.
Yeah.
If you get too close together, yeah. It becomes very hard to read.
Sure.
But this was their fashion. They used to have what are called 16 stichoi, 16 syllables. Mm. So 16 syllables per line. But basically, that was the fashion that they used. And it's okay, this is the start, but towards the end, then they start to cramp up.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Did we figure out why the Christians used codices
instead? Oh, I thought you were going to tell me.
Sure.
Yeah. Usually, what people say is that it's much easier to refer to something. So you can go from one random access sort of stuff, you can go directly to one spot, and you can then look up, flip through, and find the references that you want. Because if it's a continuous scroll, you sort of have to go, oh, I missed it. The Jews would simply read it continuously, a continuous block, but they wouldn't necessarily search through here and then back again and search back and forth like that, because basically they would remember it.
Wasn't it just easier to put in their handbag?
that's what the poet Marshall said. He said, look, you can put the codex in one hand like that and read it with one hand. So convenience for reference, portability, and so on like that. Yes, ease of concealment, because the scrolls are usually bigger and they're put in what's called a book box, so you have a great container hanging around with you, and you can't sort of slip it under your arm somewhere and hide it. So numbers of reasons like that.
I mean, it could be a significant question, isn't it, in terms of what answer you come up with in terms of Christian interest in their doctrine, for instance, its portability to the question.
interest in terms of cross-checking or whatever, if it's a matter of making easy availability of references and so on. It's a very, what a pity that some of them haven't written in the ancient world about it.
Well, I think the Christians took their texts very seriously, which is why they used the codex form, not only for ease of reference, not only for portability, but also they wanted to copy them. That was the easiest way to copy them. And
is that so an easy way to copy using codex?
You have to cut the other up because you have different people copying and you can just take
it. But with a scroll, you have a 4 meter long thing, right? And if you're going to copy it, well, the Jews took a lot of time with their copying, and they had strict rules about ruling lines and shapes of the letters and so on, like counting up the letters in the page, whatever. But as you can see from some of the earlier, I can't see it now, can we? the Rylands one and the Axe one, there's fairly rapid but clear writing. Okay, because basically, if you wanted a book, you didn't go down to the bookshop. You went to a scribe and said, "Write me a book."
There was an early reference. I think it was F.S. Bruce that's written probably about 50 years ago, and obviously it's mistaken. But he refers to a text or two from John 14, I think it was, and he refers to carbon dating as without any error bars. I think it was 112 or something like that. Have you got any idea where that would have come from?
No, it's a good question, because Sir Roberts and Turner and people like that were writing before this, and some of them came up and later writers just accepted their dates without terribly much question, because they weren't expert in paleography. And so someone would write 112 or whatever, or 127, and I say, "Oh, well, there you go, you see." Probably F.F. Bruce was quite happy to accept that, because he didn't think about it, right? He didn't think about error bars. And... Yes?
Next, they went back to separating words. Was there a time when separating words or paragraphs became permanent and give you a dateline for putting back across?
Yes, in the minuscules. Did you notice in the minuscules that you can you don't have to read it, but you can see that the words are separated out. So when they came to minuscule writing, the minuscule writing is much quicker, much more efficient, and it's easier to read. You see, you've got a nice length of line to read, whereas the majuscules, small things with the words broken up in scriptio continua. So when the minuscules came, then you had your separate word. 9th, 10th century. The earliest one is 1850 or so.
Weren't there problems of difficulty interpreting when you have all the words, all the letters sort of running consecutively without...
It's quite common in
other languages. I guess if you've got a limited line, it's not so bad, because...
After a while you get used to it, and basically you look for syllables, and you know it's going to be about 16 syllables a line in the normal line length. So actually the smaller ones from Sinaiticus, there's more broken up, and so more words are broken up, so it's much more difficult to read because of this narrow columns.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.